Here is the informative, entertaining, and detailed podcast episode about the research paper predicting the impact of e-commerce indices on international trade in Iran and other selected members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, by using the Artificial Intelligence and PVAR model. Welcome to our award-winning podcast where we dive deep into the latest scientific research. I'm Tom, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jen.
Hello listeners. Today we have a fascinating paper to discuss that explores the relationship between e-commerce and international trade. The title of the study is Predicting the Impact of E-commerce Indices on International Trade in Iran and Other Selected Members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, by using the Artificial Intelligence and PVAR model.
This is a really intriguing topic, Jen. E-commerce has become such a dominant force in today's global economy, so understanding how it impacts international trade patterns is crucial. The researchers behind this paper set out to use cutting-edge techniques like artificial intelligence and advanced statistical modeling to uncover these insights.
Exactly, Tom. The key research question they're tackling is, how do e-commerce indicators influence international trade in Iran and other OECD countries? To answer this, the team relied on two powerful analytical approaches, the multilayer perceptron, MLP, neural network and the panel vector autoregression, PVAR, model.
Let's start by talking about the MLP neural network. This is a type of artificial intelligence that's inspired by the structure of the human brain. Essentially, it's a machine learning algorithm that can uncover complex, nonlinear relationships in data. Perfect for studying something as dynamic as international trade and e-commerce.
Right. The researchers chose the MLP neural network because the nature of the export, import, GDP, and ICT variables they were studying is inherently nonlinear. Traditional linear models just wouldn't be able to capture all the nuances. But the MLP network has the flexibility to model those intricate patterns.
So how did they use the MLP network in this study? Well, the first step was to collect time series data on export, import, GDP, and ICT indicators for Iran and 9 other OECD countries. The US, Canada, Germany, France, Japan, Turkey, South Korea, Portugal, and Greece. This data spanned from 2000 to 2020.
Then, the researchers used the MLP network to predict the values of those variables out to 2025, so a 5-year forecast. And get this, they were able to do so with an astounding 99% accuracy rate. That's an incredible level of predictive power.
Wow, 99% accuracy, that's really impressive. It just goes to show the incredible capabilities of these advanced AI models. But of course, predicting the future values was just the first step. The real meat of the study was using those forecasts, along with the historical data, to analyze the relationship between e-commerce and international trade.
Exactly. For that part of the analysis, the researchers turned to the PVAR model. This is a powerful statistical technique that can uncover the dynamic interactions between multiple variables over time. Essentially, it allows you to see how changes in one factor, like e-commerce, ripple through and impact other factors, like exports and imports.
Right, and that's exactly what the PVAR model revealed in this case. The results showed that e-commerce, as measured by the ICT indicator, has a significant and positive impact on international trade. In other words, growth in e-commerce activities leads to an increase in imports and exports.
But here's the really fascinating part. The relationship is actually bidirectional. Not only does e-commerce influence trade, but international trade also has a significant impact on e-commerce development. It's this symbiotic, reinforcing cycle that the researchers were able to uncover.
Absolutely. It's a classic example of how complex economic systems can be. E-commerce and trade don't exist in a vacuum. They're intimately intertwined. And by using these advanced analytical techniques, the researchers were able to really shine a light on the nuances of that relationship.
One of the coolest things is how the researchers visualized these dynamic interactions using the impulse response functions from the PVAR model. They were able to show how shocks to e-commerce ripple through and affect trade over time, and vice versa. It's such a powerful way to bring the data to life.
Definitely, that visual component is so important for helping us mere mortals really grasp the full implications of the findings. E-commerce and international trade are complex, multifaceted topics, but the researchers did an excellent job of breaking it down in an intuitive, engaging way.
Absolutely. And I think one of the key takeaways here is just how critical it is for countries and businesses to understand these relationships. As e-commerce continues to grow, being able to predict and respond to its impacts on trade will be crucial for economic success. This kind of research can really inform smart policymaking and strategic decision-making.
Couldn't agree more. The researchers even highlighted how their findings could help governments and companies make more efficient decisions and better assess production and trade readiness. With the ability to forecast these trends, everyone from policymakers to business leaders will be able to plan and adapt much more effectively.
You know, what I find most impressive about this study is the sheer scope and ambition of it. Tackling a topic as broad as the relationship between e-commerce and international trade, across multiple countries, using cutting-edge AI and statistical techniques, that's no easy feat. But the researchers really pulled it off in a comprehensive and rigorous way.
Absolutely. And I love how they assembled this diverse dataset, covering both developed and developing OECD economies. That gives us such a well-rounded picture of how these dynamics play out in different contexts. It's not just focused on one country or region. It's a truly global perspective.
Totally. And I think that global angle is so important, especially when we are talking about something as interconnected as international trade. E-commerce is fundamentally reshaping the way the world does business, so understanding those patterns on an international scale is crucial.
Agreed. This is the kind of research that has massive real-world implications. The insights gleaned here could inform trade policies, business strategies, even economic development efforts around the world. It's laying the groundwork for how we navigate this digital transformation of the global economy.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Tom. This is the kind of fascinating, impactful research that we love to dive into on this podcast. It takes complex topics and makes them accessible, while also highlighting the profound significance of the findings. I'm really grateful to the authors for sharing their work with us today.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, there you have it. A deep dive into how e-commerce is reshaping international trade, courtesy of some brilliant researchers and their innovative analytical approach. Be sure to let us know what you thought of this episode. Until next time, keep exploring the frontiers of science with us.
See you next time.
Are your imports and exports feeling a little alien?
Introducing the latest breakthrough in international trade technology, Transfactor.
Transfactor uses cutting-edge AI and panel vector autoregression to predict the impact of e-commerce on your global business operations.
Our multi-layer perceptron neural network can forecast your trade volumes with 99% accuracy, no matter how weird and nonlinear the patterns get.
Worried about those pesky impulse response functions disrupting your supply chain? Transfactor can visualize those dynamic interactions and help you stay light years ahead of the competition.
So why let e-commerce evolution leave you stranded on some cosmic backwater? Upgrade to Transfactor and let the power of advanced analytics beam your business into the future.
Transfactor, where international trade meets interstellar technology.
Call 1-800-TRANSFACTOR to schedule your free consultation today.
Here is the transcript for the podcast episode on the research paper risk exchange under infinite mean Pareto models. Hello and welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate cutting-edge research with depth and intrigue. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be diving into a fascinating paper titled Risk Exchange Under Infinite Mean Pareto Models, written by Yu Chen, Paul Embrechts, and Rudu Wang.
This paper explores a tricky and counterintuitive phenomenon in the world of risk management. The fact that diversification may actually be detrimental when dealing with extremely heavy-tailed or super Pareto losses.
That's right, Tom. The researchers look at a pool of identically distributed super Pareto losses, that is, losses that follow a Pareto distribution with an infinite mean. And they ask a simple question: should agents diversify their positions across these losses, or is it better for them to concentrate their exposure on just one?
The answer they uncover is quite surprising. Let's dive in and find out why diversification may not always be the best strategy when it comes to managing catastrophic risks.
The key to understanding this paper lies in a recent result from Chen, Embrechts, and Wang. They showed that for a portfolio of super Pareto losses, concentration on a single loss is actually preferred over diversification, according to the principle of first-order stochastic dominance.
Stochastic dominance is a powerful concept in decision theory. Essentially, it means that one random variable is better than another, in the sense that the probability of obtaining a lower outcome is always lower for the dominant variable.
Mathematically, they proved that for a portfolio of super Pareto losses x1, x2, xn, with exposure weights theta1, theta2, theta n, the single loss x1 is always stochastically dominated by the diversified portfolio theta1 x1 plus theta2 x2 plus theta nsin.
In other words, if an agent's goal is to minimize their default probability or any other monotone risk measure, they should actually avoid diversification and instead concentrate their position on just one of the super Pareto losses. This goes against the conventional wisdom that diversification is always beneficial for risk management.
The intuition behind this result is quite fascinating. Super Pareto distributions, with their infinite means, have such extreme tails that the potential for large losses dominates any benefits of pooling the risks. Diversification, in this case, actually increases the overall riskiness of the portfolio.
Exactly. The researchers show that this preference for non-diversification holds not just for independent, identically distributed super Pareto losses, but also for more general cases where the losses exhibit weak negative association.
That's an important generalization, as real-world catastrophic risks are often correlated to some degree. The key insight is that the infinite mean property, rather than the specific dependence structure, is the driving force behind this counterintuitive result.
The paper then explores some further extensions of this finding. For example, they show that even if the losses are only super Pareto in the tail region, a similar preference for non-diversification emerges, as long as the thresholds are high enough.
Wow, that's really fascinating. So it's not just pure Pareto distributions, but a much broader class of extremely heavy-tailed models that exhibit this behavior. This really challenges the conventional wisdom around diversification.
Absolutely. The researchers also look at the implications for decision-making and risk management. They prove that for any monotone and well-defined risk measure, diversifying over super Pareto losses will always increase the risk, providing a strong incentive for agents to concentrate their exposures.
That's a powerful result. It means that whether you are looking at value at risk, expected utility, or other common risk metrics, the optimal strategy is to avoid diversification when facing super Pareto risks.
The paper then takes this analysis one step further, looking at the equilibria that would arise in a risk exchange market for these types of losses. Interestingly, the researchers find that agents will not voluntarily share their super Pareto risks in equilibrium.
That makes perfect sense. If diversification is always detrimental, there's no incentive for agents to pool their exposures. In fact, the paper shows that the equilibrium involves simply exchanging the entire loss positions, rather than any risk sharing.
However, the researchers uncover a twist. If the agents with super Pareto losses can transfer them to external parties without any losses, then a mutually beneficial equilibrium can arise where both the internal and external agents are better off.
That's a fascinating insight. So by bringing in external agents with a stronger risk tolerance, the internal agents can offload their super Pareto exposures in a way that benefits everyone. It's a clever way to sidestep the diversification dilemma.
Exactly. The paper really highlights how the infinite mean nature of these Pareto-type risks fundamentally changes the risk management landscape. Conventional wisdom around diversification simply doesn't apply in these extreme scenarios.
This is a wonderful example of how rigorous research can uncover counterintuitive, yet vitally important insights. By digging into the mathematical properties of super Pareto distributions, the authors have revealed a powerful principle that has significant real-world implications for risk management.
Absolutely. I think this paper is a must-read for anyone working in fields like insurance, finance, or disaster risk management, where catastrophic, heavy-tailed events are a constant concern. It really forces us to rethink some of our most fundamental assumptions about risk diversification.
Agreed. And as the authors point out, this is not just a theoretical curiosity. There is ample empirical evidence that many real-world catastrophic loss distributions exhibit these super Pareto characteristics, from earthquakes and hurricanes to operational risks and cyber attacks.
It's a sobering reminder that in an increasingly interconnected and volatile world, our traditional risk management tools may not always be up to the task. We need to be open to new ways of thinking, and this paper is an excellent starting point for that exploration.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, this has been a fascinating dive into a truly groundbreaking piece of research. I'm sure our listeners have gained some valuable insights into the challenges of managing extreme risks and the importance of understanding the underlying statistical properties of the losses we face.
Couldn't agree more, Jen. This is the kind of research that really pushes the boundaries of our understanding and forces us to rethink some of our most deeply held assumptions. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about these super Pareto models in the risk management world in the years to come.
Definitely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Podcast Name Podcast.
Are you tired of diversifying your portfolio only to be let down by heavy-tailed risks?
Introducing Pareto Partners, the world's first risk management firm specializing in super Pareto losses.
That's right. With Pareto Partners, you can stop spreading your eggs across multiple baskets and start concentrating your risk exactly where it belongs, in one massive, catastrophic basket.
Our team of expert mathematicians have rigorously proven that diversification is for suckers when it comes to infinite mean Pareto distributions. So let us handle all your risk management needs.
Whether it's earthquake insurance, cybersecurity coverage, or protection against asteroid impacts, Pareto Partners will make sure you're exclusively exposed to the most disastrous outcomes.
Don't settle for wimpy risk measures that value diversification. Trust Pareto Partners to maximize your probability of ruin.
Sign up today and get your first Super Pareto loss absolutely free. Operators are standing by.
Pareto Partners, diversification is dead.
Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the award-winning podcast where we investigate research papers with intrigue in depth. I'm Tom, and joining me today is my co-host Jen.
Hi everyone. Today we'll be diving into a fascinating study that explores the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on personal income across different industrial sectors in the United States. The paper is titled Variability in Aggregate Personal Income Across Industrial Sectors During COVID-19 Shock, a Time Series Exploration.
This research is really timely and relevant, given the huge economic disruptions caused by the pandemic. The authors, Didarul Islam and Muhammad Abdullah Al-Faisal, set out to understand how the COVID-19 shock affected personal income in different industries.
Exactly. They used advanced time series analysis to establish baseline trends in personal income before the pandemic, and then compared those forecasts to the actual data collected during COVID-19. This allowed them to quantify the impacts on each sector in both the short and long term.
That's a really clever approach. By establishing a counterfactual scenario of how personal income would have looked without the pandemic, they're able to isolate the true effects of COVID-19 across different industries. So what did they find?
The researchers identified some fascinating patterns. Certain sectors, like utilities, retail, finance, real estate, and healthcare, demonstrated remarkable resilience, with personal income holding relatively steady. The farming sector even showed an early recovery, despite initial setbacks.
That's really interesting. So the pandemic didn't impact all industries equally. Some were able to bounce back much more quickly. What about the sectors that struggled more?
The hardest hit was accommodation and food services, which experienced a delayed recovery in personal income. This sector ended up contributing over 50% of the overall impact variance, meaning it was a major driver of the aggregate economic downturn.
Wow, that's a huge impact. What about some of the other sectors? How did they fare?
Well, the researchers found that finance and utilities actually saw positive deviations, suggesting they may have even benefited in the early stages of the pandemic. On the other hand, sectors like manufacturing, wholesale, and education showed more moderate recovery, while construction and government lagged behind in resilience.
It's fascinating to see this level of variability across different parts of the economy. So how did the pandemic affect the overall aggregate personal income in the U.S.?
The researchers found that the aggregate economic impact was initially negative at -0.027 in 2020 Q1, but then drastically worsened to -1.42 in Q2. However, by Q4 it had improved, reflecting a broader trend of adaptation and resilience across the sectors.
That paints a really dynamic picture of how the economic shockwaves of the pandemic played out over time. The researchers must have used some advanced statistical modeling to tease out all of these nuanced insights.
Absolutely. They employed autoregressive integrated moving average, ARIMA, models to establish the baseline trends in personal income before COVID-19. Then they extended those models to forecast what personal income would have looked like if the pandemic had never happened. Comparing those forecasts to the actual data allowed them to quantify the impacts for each sector.
That's a really clever use of time series analysis. It allows them to isolate the causal effects of the pandemic, rather than just looking at raw changes in personal income. This kind of rigorous, data-driven approach is so important for understanding the complex economic fallout of major disruptive events.
Definitely. And what I find most impressive is how the researchers were able to translate all of this technical statistical work into such a nuanced, insightful story about the variability in how different industries weathered the COVID-19 storm. They really bring the data to life in a way that's both informative and engaging.
Absolutely. This is a great example of how high-quality research can be communicated to a broad audience in a compelling way. The authors did an excellent job of balancing the empirical rigor with vivid storytelling and relatable examples.
I agree. One thing that really stood out to me was how they used analogies and visualizations to help explain some of the more complex concepts, like the ARIMA modeling. That kind of approach makes the science much more accessible and memorable for the listener.
Totally. And I think the broader relevance of this research is also really important. Understanding how different sectors respond to major economic shocks can help policymakers and business leaders make more informed decisions, both in times of crisis and in the long term. This kind of granular, sector-level analysis is invaluable.
Definitely. The authors pointed out how their findings could inform targeted support and recovery efforts, rather than a one-size-fits-all approach. And by highlighting the surprising resilience of some sectors, it opens up new questions about the factors that contribute to that adaptability.
Exactly. This is really just the start of an important line of inquiry. I'm sure we'll see a lot more research building on these insights as the economic impacts of the pandemic continue to unfold. It's an exciting time for this field.
Absolutely. This has been a really fascinating deep dive into a timely and impactful piece of research. I'm excited to see what else the authors uncover as they continue to explore this critical topic.
Me too. Thanks everyone for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to catch more episodes where we investigate cutting-edge research with intrigue and depth. See you next time.
Bye.
Here is a funny, weird, and concise commercial for a company that exists as a result of the research paper Variability in Aggregate Personal Income Across Industrial Sectors During COVID-19 Shock, a time series exploration. Are you worried about your personal income getting rocked by the next big economic shock?
Introducing Sector Shield, the revolutionary new service that protects your paycheck from the unpredictable.
Sector Shield analyzes your income streams across different industries using advanced time series forecasting. That way, when the next pandemic, recession, or alien invasion hits, you'll be ready.
Our algorithms have identified the most resilient sectors, like utilities, finance, and alien overlord tribute collection.
So don't leave your personal income up to chance. Diversify your earnings with Sector Shield today.
Call 1-888-ARIMAPROOF to get started. That's 1-888-ARIMAPROOF.
Sector Shield. When you need a force field for your bank account. Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the award-winning podcast that dives deep into the latest cutting-edge research. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that shows how deep learning can uncover valuable insights from images to predict something as important as housing prices.
The paper is titled Using Images as Covariates: Measuring Curb Appeal with Deep Learning, and it's authored by Arden Nordstrom, Morgan Nordstrom, and Matthew D. Webb.
This is such an intriguing study. The key finding is that by using deep learning to analyze images of home exteriors, the researchers were able to significantly improve the accuracy of housing price predictions compared to traditional models that only use structured data from real estate listings.
Exactly. The researchers recognized that visual details about a home's appearance, what they call curb appeal, can have a big influence on how much a buyer is willing to pay. But these subtle aesthetic factors are often missed in the standard property characteristics included in real estate data.
So they set out to capture that unobservable information by harnessing the power of deep learning. They used a variety of pre-trained convolutional neural network models, like ResNet 50, VGG 16, and Inception, to analyze images of home exteriors and extract detailed visual features.
That's right. The models were able to identify and categorize all sorts of elements in the images. Things like architectural styles, landscaping features, even the presence of specific objects like a porch or garage. Each model picked up on slightly different visual cues.
And the really innovative part is that they didn't just use a single deep learning model. They combined the encoded features from multiple models to get a richer, more comprehensive representation of each home's visual characteristics.
Combining those diverse image features with the traditional property data led to significant improvements in the accuracy of housing price predictions. Compared to a baseline model using only the listing details, adding the deep learning-derived image features reduced the mean squared error by 3%.
That may not sound like a huge difference, but in the high-stakes world of real estate, even small gains in predictive power can be incredibly valuable. It shows the power of using unstructured data like images to capture previously unobservable factors that influence home values.
Absolutely. The researchers make a great point that visuals play a huge role in how people perceive and value properties, beyond just the objective characteristics. Things like architectural style, landscaping, and general curb appeal can have a big psychological impact on buyers.
Exactly. And by using multiple deep learning models to analyze those visual elements, the researchers were able to get a much more nuanced and holistic understanding of each home's unique aesthetic appeal.
The study really highlights the benefits of an interdisciplinary approach, blending machine learning techniques with traditional econometric modeling. The combination allows them to harness the predictive power of deep learning while maintaining the interpretability of a hedonic pricing framework.
That's a great point. One of the key innovations here is the convoluted model that they developed, which takes the deep learning-derived price predictions and uses them as an additional input to a standard OLS regression. This allows them to capture the best of both worlds.
Exactly. And their comprehensive out-of-sample testing shows just how powerful this combined approach can be. The convoluted model with image features outperformed the baseline model using only listing attributes by a full 3% in terms of mean squared error.
It's a really clever way to leverage the strengths of deep learning and econometrics. The deep learning models excel at extracting rich, complex visual features from the images. But then the OLS regression helps refine those predictions by integrating the structured data as well.
Definitely. And I think the researchers made a smart choice in using a variety of pre-trained deep learning models, rather than just relying on a single architecture. By combining the unique feature representations from ResNet, VGG, Inception, and others, they were able to capture a more complete picture of each home's visual characteristics.
Absolutely. The fact that the Tout Ensemble model, which used features from all the individual and pairwise encoder combinations, consistently performed the best really speaks to the value of that multifaceted approach. It underscores how different deep learning models can pick up on complementary visual cues.
It's a great example of how combining multiple data sources and modeling techniques can lead to meaningful breakthroughs. The researchers didn't just settle for a single deep learning model. They creatively integrated it with traditional econometrics to develop a robust, hybrid approach.
And the implications extend beyond just real estate. This study shows the broader potential for using deep learning to extract valuable information from images that can augment standard economic analyses across many domains.
Definitely, being able to quantify previously unobservable visual factors opens up all sorts of exciting research possibilities. I can imagine applying similar techniques to analyze the aesthetic appeal of storefronts, the visual characteristics of neighborhoods, or even the emotional cues in facial expressions.
Absolutely. This research really pushes the boundaries of how we can leverage unstructured data to gain new insights. It's a powerful demonstration of the benefits of an interdisciplinary approach, combining the strengths of machine learning and econometrics.
Definitely. This paper is a fascinating glimpse into the future of economic research, where traditional data sources are augmented by rich, untapped information from images, videos, and other multimedia. I can't wait to see what other innovative applications emerge from this intersection of deep learning and econometrics.
Me too. This study has really opened my eyes to the incredible potential that visual data holds. By capturing the nuances of curb appeal, the researchers were able to significantly improve their ability to predict something as important as home values. It's a great example of how unobservable factors can have a big impact.
Absolutely. And I think a key takeaway here is the value of using multiple deep learning models, rather than just relying on a single architecture. The ensemble approach allowed them to build a more comprehensive understanding of each home's visual features.
Definitely. It speaks to the importance of using diverse, complementary data sources and modeling techniques. No single deep learning model is going to capture the full complexity of something like home aesthetics. But by combining multiple perspectives, the researchers were able to get a richer, more nuanced picture.
Exactly. This paper is a great reminder that in economic research, as in life, simplicity is often the enemy of the truth. The more layers we can peel back, the more we can uncover about the hidden forces that shape real-world outcomes.
Well said. This study has been a fascinating exploration of how deep learning can unlock new types of insights from visual data. It's an exciting preview of the future of econometrics, where traditional models are enhanced by the power of machine learning to capture the full complexity of human behavior and decision-making.
Couldn't agree more. This paper is a prime example of the kind of cutting-edge, cross-disciplinary research that we love to feature on this podcast. It pushes the boundaries of what's possible and sets the stage for even more innovative work to come.
Definitely. I'm left with a real sense of wonder and curiosity about where this line of research might go next. The ability to quantify something as nebulous as curb appeal opens up all sorts of fascinating possibilities. I can't wait to see what other unobservable factors these techniques might uncover.
Me too. This has been a truly enlightening discussion. Thanks for joining me, Jen, to explore this remarkable study on using deep learning to measure housing curb appeal. I'm sure our listeners are as excited as we are about the potential of this kind of interdisciplinary research.
Absolutely. Until next time, keep exploring the cutting edge with us, Tom and Jen. Thanks for listening.
Here is a funny, weird, and concise commercial for a company that now exists as a result of the using images as covariate. Measuring curb appeal with deep learning paper. Are your home's exterior features lacking that certain je ne sais quoi? Is your curb appeal leaving potential buyers feeling less than enthused?
Introducing Facade Fixer, the deep learning-powered home makeover service that can instantly transform your property's aesthetic appeal.
Our cutting-edge AI analyzes every nook and cranny of your home's exterior, identifying the subtle visual cues that subconsciously influence buyer psychology.
From architectural details to landscaping elements, Facade Fixer's computer vision algorithms will pinpoint what's holding your home back from reaching its maximum market value.
Don't settle for a boring old porch or generic siding. Let our team of design experts craft a custom curb appeal upgrade tailored to your home's unique visual DNA.
Call 1-800-FACADE-FIX and unleash the hidden power of your property's appearance. Facade Fixer. Because first impressions are everything. Tom and Jen. Facade Fixer. Upgrading curb appeal, one home at a time.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Research Podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hi everyone. Today we are excited to explore a fascinating paper that uses reinforcement learning to create a highly realistic market simulation. The paper is titled Reinforcement Learning in Agent-Based Market Simulation, Unveiling Realistic Stylized Facts and Behavior, and it's authored by Jiung Yao, Jen Li, Matthew Thomas, and Ionit Florescu.
This is a really interesting study that tackles a major challenge in financial modeling. Traditional market simulations often struggle to capture the dynamic, adaptive behavior of real-world investors. But the researchers here have developed a simulation framework using reinforcement learning agents that can generate incredibly lifelike market activity.
That's right, Tom. The key innovation is that these agents don't just follow rigid, pre-programmed rules. Instead, they're trained using reinforcement learning to learn optimal strategies by interacting with the evolving market environment. This allows them to adapt and respond realistically to changing conditions.
Exactly. The researchers set up a simulated continuous double auction market with two types of reinforcement learning agents, liquidity-taking agents and market-making agents. Each agent observes the state of the market, takes actions like placing buy and sell orders, and receives rewards based on its performance. Over time, the agents learn to optimize their own trading strategies.
The really impressive part is that the simulated market generated by these RL agents exhibits all the key stylized facts we see in real financial markets. Things like heavy-tailed return distributions, volatility clustering, and slowly decaying autocorrelation in absolute returns. The RL agents were able to capture that complex, realistic market dynamics.
That's right, Jen. The researchers did a fantastic job of benchmarking their simulation against real-world data and comparing it to a more traditional zero-intelligence agent-based model. The RL agent system produced results that were much more aligned with actual market behavior.
And it's not just the overall statistical properties of the market that looked realistic. The researchers also analyzed the individual behavior of the market-making agents and found that they were able to effectively manage their inventory and profitably provide liquidity, just like real-world market makers.
Absolutely. The market makers learned to rely more on capturing the bid-ask spread rather than trying to profit from their inventory positions. Their inventory levels remained fairly stable, which is another hallmark of realistic market-making activity.
The researchers also looked at how the RL agents responded to external shocks to the market, like a simulated flash crash event. They found that the continually trained RL agents were able to adapt their strategies, widening spreads and shifting prices in anticipation of the order imbalance. This is exactly the kind of behavior we see from real market makers.
That's a really impressive demonstration of the adaptability of these RL agents. Rather than just passively reacting to events, they were able to proactively adjust their behavior to changing market conditions. And the fact that the continually trained agents outperformed the agents that were only pre-trained shows the value of that ongoing learning process.
Definitely. The researchers also did an experiment where they introduced informed liquidity taking agents that dynamically changed their buying and selling preferences. Again, the continually trained market makers were able to pick up on these shifts in order flow and adjust their pricing accordingly, whereas the pre-trained agents struggled to adapt.
It's amazing how closely this simulated market mirrors real-world dynamics. By empowering their agents with reinforcement learning, the researchers have created a platform that can generate incredibly realistic market activity and provide valuable insights into how different participants might behave.
Absolutely. This is a great example of how machine learning can be leveraged to improve financial modeling and simulation. Rather than relying on rigid rules, these RL agents are able to learn complex, adaptable strategies that capture the nuances of real market behavior.
Definitely, and the broader implications of this research are quite significant. Having a highly realistic market simulator could be incredibly valuable for investors, regulators, and policymakers who want to understand the potential impacts of their decisions in a safe, controlled environment.
Exactly. Rather than just running historical simulations, this system allows you to introduce all kinds of hypothetical scenarios and see how the market and the individual agents might respond. It's a powerful tool for exploring the unintended consequences of market interventions or changes.
Absolutely. This is a really impressive piece of work that pushes the boundaries of what's possible with agent-based financial modeling. The researchers have managed to create a simulation platform that is not only statistically realistic, but also adaptable and responsive to changes in market conditions.
I agree, Tom. This is the kind of innovative research that can have a real-world impact on how we understand and manage financial markets. By harnessing the power of reinforcement learning, the authors have opened up new avenues for exploring complex market dynamics and behaviors.
Definitely. And I think the key takeaway here is the importance of empowering agents with the ability to learn and adapt, rather than just following pre-programmed rules. That flexibility and responsiveness is what allows the simulation to capture the nuances of real-world market activity.
Absolutely. This is a prime example of how machine learning can be leveraged to create more realistic and insightful models, not just in finance, but across a wide range of complex systems. The potential applications are really quite exciting.
I couldn't agree more, Jen. This paper represents a significant advancement in agent-based modeling and simulation, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this research evolves and gets applied in the real world. There's so much potential here to gain deeper, more actionable insights into the dynamics of financial markets.
Definitely. This has been a fascinating deep dive into a really innovative piece of research. I'm sure our listeners have gained a much richer understanding of how reinforcement learning can be used to create highly realistic market simulations. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Cutting Edge Research Podcast. Upbeat jingle plays. Are you tired of boring, predictable financial simulations that don't reflect the true chaos of the market?
Introducing Stock Trader Turbo, the world's most realistic stock trading simulator.
Our patented reinforcement learning agents don't just follow rigid rules. They adapt, they evolve, they make decisions just like real human traders.
Want to see the market crash in the most chaotic, unpredictable way possible? Stock Trader Turbo has got your back.
Bored of the same old volatility patterns? Our agents can generate fat-tailed returns. Volatility clustering, you name it.
And the best part? Our market makers can actually manage their inventory in a lifelike way. No more magical, omniscient liquidity providers.
So if you want to experience the true madness of the financial markets, without risking your life savings, grab Stock Trader Turbo today.
Available now on PC, console, and your uncle's Bitcoin mining rig.
Stock Trader Turbo. Unleash the chaos. Jingle intensifies, then fades out.